Welcome to the What's Your Dream podcast, where we explore the dreams and journeys of extraordinary individuals. Today, we're honored to have Dr. Michelle Maidenberg, a renowned expert in mental health, mindfulness, and health advocacy. Dr. Maidenberg holds a PhD, MPH, and LCSW-R. She maintains a private practice in Harrison, New York, and co-founded Through My Eyes, a nonprofit offering free video legacies for chronically ill individuals. She teaches mindfulness practice at NYU, serves on the board of directors for the Boys and Girls Club in Mount Vernon, and is part of the American Red Cross Crisis Team. Michelle's books include Free Your Child from Overeating and Ace Your Life, Unleash Your Best Self and Live the Life You Want. She also shares guided meditations on YouTube and writes for Psychology Today. Join us as we dive into her inspiring journey and insights. Hello, how are you doing today?
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
We are so happy to have you here. You ready to go ahead and dive in and get started?
Yes, let's go.
Awesome. What is your biggest dream or aspiration?
I live it every day. So it's really giving to others. You know, I really want people to be helped from their stuckness and barriers that get in their way of being their best self and living the life they want. That's like what I'm all about. I kind of breathe it, eat it, drink it every waking hour in my profession and my writing. And yeah.
Yeah. And where are you joining us from?
From New York, Westchester County, New York. Yeah.
Okay. I visited New York about in March and I had never been there before. It is definitely a hustle and bustle for sure.
It is. Yes. Yeah, so very fast paced.
How long have you had your private practice?
Yes. How long?
Uh-huh.
I've been in private practice for, gosh, I'm aging myself, which is totally okay. About, I would say 25 years or so, give or take. Yeah. It's taken on different variations over the years, but, you know, having this, you know, full, now it's more full-time. I teach also and do other things, but it's primarily my private practice.
Yeah. Busy lady. All right. What makes you feel grateful and full of joy today?
My family, for one. I have four kids from ages 25 to 16, which is like astounding to me. I look at them and I'm like, how did this happen? And I know parents usually feel that way. I love traveling, and it's something I really want to do more of as I age. So I love seeing different cultures and languages and, you know, rich history and all that. So love doing that. And I just traveled recently, so I'm feeling grateful about that. I was in Portugal and then I was in Bermuda. And about a week and a half ago, my daughter, it was her 16th birthday. So I got a chance to take her to Amsterdam and Paris. It was like a mother-daughter trip. And we got to see Taylor Swift in concert in Amsterdam.
Very cool. So where is your favorite place you've ever been?
That's a great question. I've been to so many great places, but I don't know. I have an affinity for Barcelona. I love Barcelona. I just feel it's so spirited. And Israel, actually, I feel like the people are so warm and lovely and friendly. And again, it's so rich in culture and, you know, so both of those places, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Very nice. What are the most significant lessons you've learned throughout your life, and how have they shaped you as a person?
So that is my book. You know, it's predicated, you know, it's called the ACE method. It's predicated under acceptance, compassion, empowerment. And I feel like it is that, you know, really self-acceptance. And that's always been really hard. And I think over the past, I would say 5 years, more than ever, I see my transformation. And I saw it through my book, you know, which led to a lot of more transformations actually that came to light and got highlighted as I was writing, which was, you know, very momentous in terms of my relationship and all of that. So I think it's really like life is so short. I see it every moment, you know, with clients I work with and how things happen on a dime and how we really have to take every single moment is so precious. So I feel like living my life according to my values is one very significant lesson, which I try to practice, not always, you know, perfectly. So one, living my life according to my values, and two is really being so present with the people that I'm with. Those two things. Yeah.
So tell us a little bit more about your book. Like, what would a reader, what are they going to get out of it? What are they going to learn?
So it's really what it helps with, because the publisher was kind of giving me a hard time and they wanted like a population that it's going to help with. And I was like, no, that's not what it's about. It's a method by which to live by. So it, you know, for me, it's based on acceptance, compassion, empowerment. And I feel like formatively, we need to know our neurobiology. We need to understand how our brains are formed and how they're wired and what our propensity is, what our barriers are, because there is so many of them that get in the way of us and our stuckness. So it's really around stuckness. Now, everyone has stuckness. I don't care who you are. It's actually universal across the world. And it could be relationship-based, it could be habit-based, it could be, you know, whatever. And we usually have resources. We know how to get through stuckness, but we don't know how to sustain behaviors and patterns over time, because our brain is wired always to repeat what's familiar and comfortable. And when I say comfortable, it doesn't mean that it is actually comfortable, but our brain takes the last, you know, kind of the path of least resistance. It doesn't want to work hard. So it does, you know, typically, you know, repeat behaviors and patterns of behavior. So the first chapter is really on our neurobiology and our neurophysiology. And then the second one is on our values. So people try to convince me that they know what their core values are. And then when we do these exercises, they're like blown away, because it really grounds you. It's like a guide for action. So every night before I go to sleep, I actually do a values review. And I think about the values I've leaned into, the values I've leaned out of, you know, and it's very empowering, because I don't sit and beat myself up and say, oh, I was an awful parent, you know, today. But I say, you know, I didn't quite lean into my parenting values. You know, something got in the way today. Tomorrow, I'm going to really make an effort to focus on that. And it's a lot more empowering rather than berating oneself, because then we don't make change, you know. And then the last parts, the three parts, I talk about the barriers to each, because there are so many barriers that we're not even aware of. Yes, there's the neurophysiology, but there is also social cultural, and there is the way we were raised and so many other factors. And then I talk about how to integrate these skills, you know, exercises to help you. And at the end of each chapter, there's a guided meditation, which has a QR code, which you could scan. And then you actually get to, you know, real integration of the skills with the mindfulness practice. So it helps not only for self-acceptance, you know, again, compassion. We never ever taught how to be self-compassionate. We always are taught how to be compassionate towards others, not towards ourselves. And then empowerment, like how do we sustain change over time? So it's not temporary, but it's really for the long term.
Yeah. And it's so funny, because everything you just mentioned, I love all of those conversations. Number one, how your brain works, right? Number two, how to build those new neural networks and get out of those terrible cycles that you're on. I mean, I think, and you even mentioned, you know, like maybe it's a relationship cycle, maybe it's a career cycle. It's like, it's probably all of them. You know what I mean? We get so stuck in our patterns that it's like, you just have to figure out a way to get off of that loop. But I'm sure it's like, you know, it's crazy to me that our brains are actually wired to like almost to just keep recreating the past, right? And then you have your subconscious that has all of this stuff and everything that's ever happened to you stored, that is literally just keeping you on those patterns and keeping you, like you said, safe, comfortable, you know, whatever it is. And so I kind of feel like you should actually, as a person, strive to be uncomfortable. Because in the uncomfort is whenever you have the growth and you have those aha moments, you write books and you publish them. That's so uncomfortable. I know when I published my book, it was like, okay, this is one of the most uncomfortable feelings I've ever felt in my life, just because you tell so much story about yourself in those books. And I think people don't realize how much vulnerability that takes for an author to just put it all out there and just have the world reading it, you know. But it kind of changed me into more of a vulnerable person. It just generally in life and being more open to sharing and, you know, having a podcast, right, where things come up.
Yeah. Well, I did a TEDx talk on circumventing emotional avoidance. I mean, we're constantly avoiding negative emotions. That's again how our brain is wired, and it's so uncomfortable. Like, who wants to be sad, disappointed, frustrated, angry? You know, you were talking about these behaviors that we kind of loop, you know, into. The issue with it also is that it's so subconscious. It's not in our conscious awareness. And I have to highlight that because, you know, I think when we intellectualize and we say like, oh, we see, we keep on getting ourselves in that rut. Like, why do we keep doing this? Like what causes us to keep repeating this behavior that's so counterproductive and actually harmful at times? Like, why can't we just like, you know, kind of get it? And the whole point is sometimes we either just kind of slip into the behavior because it's so instantaneous, but sometimes it's so subconscious. So I know for myself, like I lived years like in repression, you know, like severe repression, I'm talking, like, you know, which is unbelievable to me at times when I think about it. And I didn't even realize how I was feeling because that was an adaptation I had from childhood. Like that served me so well when I was younger, and I became the person I am today, which I'm very thankful for because of my adaptation. But I take that suitcase with me as I age and as I grow. And I'll give you like an example that like happened this week even. So, you know, my house over time, you know, has gotten like overwhelmingly disorganized and this and that. And because I was going through a lot, you know, family wise and whatever. And I just let it slip by. And literally, I'm admitting this, I would come home and I would be viscerally uncomfortable because I'm a very, I like to think of myself as a pretty organized person. But even more than that, I really like to have a Zen, peaceful environment. Like that's really important. I like feng shui, like very Zen. You know, when I come to my office, I'm in heaven, literally, because it's just so Zen. So I realize every time I would come home, so I sat down with myself and I said, like, why am I just allowing this to like be, you know, so much so that I wasn't even making my bed in the morning.
Yeah.
So I started last week, literally, I said, no, every morning I'm making my bed. Even that little piece of it makes me feel better. And I have to tell you, incredible, right? And then like 2 days ago, I said, so the excuse was, okay, I can't really do it myself. There's a lot of things to throw out and lug and this and that. So I was expecting, you know, a person to help me. And that was my excuse for years, I think, for not doing anything about it. And I said, you know what? I'm done. Like I could do this. And if I need help with a few things, I will elicit help. But I am done. And I decided every hour, every day, I'm going to put an hour into cleaning another part of that house. And dining room table, check.
Right.
Kitchen, yesterday, my kitchen looks, I can't tell you, like, I'm so riveted and excited. A, because I realize, like, I could do this myself. I don't need to rely on anybody. Yes. Right. And also, like, I am worth being in an environment that is actually peaceful. And three, I don't have to repress that. All of that, all those years of doing that was repressed feelings. You know, it was like, you know, don't ask, don't tell. I don't want to see it. It's not here. It doesn't exist. And just like being resentful and frustrated and whatever. And I'm like, no. And it's like, whew.
Yeah. Yeah. Making space for that. For the peace, right? That's kind of how I heard that one saying. It was like, whatever your car looks like is literally what's going on in your brain. So if your car's a mess, everything that's going on in your brain is a mess. And it's amazing the difference whenever you have things clean and not cluttered, that it makes just such a huge difference. So it's really interesting to me that your office is like exactly the way you want it. It's pristine. It's refreshing. It's, you know, it's heaven, like you said. And then you go home and you're like, where did all this crap come from, you know?
Well, and, you know, just to piggyback what you're saying, I realized that it wasn't about organization and it wasn't about all of that. What it really was about dependency, was about my rationalization that I can't do this independently. And that there is an expectation that if somebody doesn't do it with me, then it's not going to get done. And that's a bigger issue. That's a much, much bigger issue, which I have totally been working on substantially, you know, for the past couple of years, that I don't need to depend on anybody. And I don't have to think that I'm ineffective and I don't have to be insecure, you know, and that's the little girl in me, you know, the little neglected girl who like vied just to have attention and somebody there to help and whatever. And if nobody was there, I was going to kick and scream, right? Until somebody would be there to help.
Yeah.
And I don't need to do that anymore.
Yeah.
Yay.
I always say awareness is key. It's like, you know, we can figure out these things about ourselves. You know, we might stay stuck for even longer, right? Like it might take, you might go home tonight and be like, man, it's my house is a mess again, you know? But it's like, as long as you like identify it and then figure out. And that's why I feel like, I mean, I'm definitely going to read your book because I absolutely love all of that whole conversation. Because I think no matter what, I mean, I picture myself even at 50, 60, 70, 80, all these ages, there's probably still going to be things and these cycles that I'm stuck on that I'm going to have to become aware of and figure out. Because, like, as a child, it's so much. I mean, I love inner child healing. It is one of my absolute favorite things to talk about, to do. And it's like that little Trisha in me is the one that's going to start recreating exactly what happened to me as a kid and to stay in those comfortable situations. So it's just such a, it's awareness, you
Yeah,
know?
and you know it's healing. I mean, it's like it's pure healing. And you know what? You know what kind of pivoted all of this for me, which is so funny. I went with my daughter to Amsterdam and Paris. Now I'm very directionally challenged, and I'm admitting it like completely. But I literally was able, to get us through Amsterdam and Paris by myself. Like I always depended on my husband, to do that, like to do all the directions and planning and whatever. And I'm like, I did it. I was able to do that. And I'm like, oh, I'm capable of a lot more than I think I am. Like, no, it doesn't stop here. So even these little changes, when you're able to build your confidence, and that's really where it's at, right? A lot of, I really believe in research and evidence-based practice. So like everything I write about is evidence-based, and you'll see in my writing, it's like for the person who is interested in that and also the person who wants more than that. But yes, once you open that door and you see that window and you see that light and you build up this core, right? It's really your authentic self. Like my authentic self is an empowered, capable, like person. And it's funny because as you could see with me, right? In some areas of my life, which is my work and everything, like if like what I'm saying right now is gonna become is actually gonna be a surprise to people who know me and are listening to this.
Yeah.
Because they think in their mind, the judgment is she has it all together,
Because it's how we're
So
supposed to be, right? Supposed to be.
So there are different parts of us also. There are different parts. There are parts that are more evolved and more developed. There are parts that still need more healing. We have to give, like, really pay homage to all of those parts. They all need our attention.
Yeah. It's amazing. I've been reading the books Conversations with God, and it's like opened my eyes to so many different things and just to the like, you know, we're here to discover who we truly are, right? Which is godlike, which is perfect, which is, you know, using our imagination, the creativity and all of that. And it's so amazing to just kind of put all of that into perspective of, and they're the most amazing books I've ever read in my life. And just bringing a whole different spin on the idea of spirituality and religion. And that's one of my dreams, right? Is to really bring the spirituality piece and just getting closer to who you truly are. And we're just creating these experiences to, so we can figure out or remember who we truly are, you know? So it's super, super interesting, just the
Yeah,
whole conversation in general.
and that's also very kind of trendy now, right? Because like it's referred to like the golden shadow if you do Jungian work, right? It's the Buddha nature, right? If you're kind of Buddhist, right? It's wholeness, right? And it's very funny because when I ask people, what's your perception about people? Do you believe people, are whole? Do you believe they're worthy? Do you believe, and they're like unequivocally, of course, what do you mean? And I'm like, well, why don't you apply that to yourself? Why are you left out of that? I don't get it. And they laugh.
Yeah, very, very interesting. Humans. Oh, all right. What inspires you and motivates you to keep going even when faced with challenges?
I really believe my mission in life is to help others, and I personally want to have an enriching life. I love like nature and the beauty of the world, and beauty of people. And, you know, I listen, I have animals, I have four dogs actually. So I just believe that, you know, I do believe, you know, and it's a Buddhist precept, but life is full of human suffering. I do believe that. I do believe that each and every one of us has adversity. It looks different, it feels different, but it is the same ball of wax when it comes down to it. We suffer as humans. And, you know, suffering could be seen as something that's pronounced. It could be something that could be so incredibly detrimental and, you know, knocking the wind out of us. But I actually see it very differently. I see it as, you know, when you're facing challenges, you're building strength, you're building resilience. You're building your ability to cope and manage your life better. You're building your self-efficacy and your self-confidence. I know for myself, when I'm able to get through adversity, I'm building myself, you know, my self-compassion. It's like I could say to myself, gosh, that was really hard. And, you know, when you go through things like that, that really leads to suffering. And that is really hard. And it doesn't mean that I have to whisk it away. And it doesn't mean that the issue has to change, because sometimes I don't have control over that. But I'm strong enough and I'm viable enough that I could get through whatever comes my way. And I don't have a choice.
Yeah, exactly. It's like sit in it for as long as it needs to be sat in, and then quit suffering, right? It's like the whole idea, okay, what can I learn from this? What can I take away from this? And I believe the same thing. Life is full of suffering, but it's only full of suffering for as long as you want to suffer. You know, you have to flip that switch of, okay, I'm not going to do this anymore. Just like you were like, oh my gosh, how am I going to get around this unforeseen place with my daughter? And then all of a sudden you're like, I can do this. I've got it. There's no suffering involved here. You know, it's like you there for a minute, you feel sorry for yourself almost, right? And you're like, nope, not going to do it. So I truly believe.
And in our travels, there was some glitches. Let me tell you. I mean, if I sat and told you them, you'd crack up, because like they were like, only this happened. You know, my even daughter my says, this only happens when I'm with you. Like, this doesn't happen with anybody else. And I laughed and I'm like, but think of the memories that we have.
Right.
Like, literally think of the memories. And then on the way back, I didn't realize it, but you know, we had a stopover, a really long stopover. And initially it was her birthday on that day. Mm-hmm. And she was upset that we're like in the, you know, kind of traveling on her birthday. And I said, you know, like I felt bad for her and I felt sad, of course. But then I said, you know what? It gives me more time with her. Like once we get home, she's in her room, the door is closed and I don't see her, you know, like I have a few hours, whatever it is, you know? So it's perspective taking also.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I have teenage daughters as well. So I totally get it. All right. What do you hope to leave behind in the world as your legacy?
So definitely, I really want to help people with stuckness and transformation. That's one thing. And my next venture, because I have another book in me, I think, is triggers. Triggers. Yeah, that's another space that I think leads to our stuckness, you know, I'm going to say.
Really?
Yeah. And again, it takes on so many different levels, and there's so many different theoretical frameworks that kind of couch it in terms of understanding ourselves better, both like physiologically, emotionally, socially, and otherwise. So that is, yes, that is my next venture. Again, transformation. I see people, you know, it's so lovely because in my practice, which I'm so grateful for, I have some kids that I saw when they were like in middle school or teenagers and their parents forced them to come, you know, and they came belligerently and, you know, they came just because like they're doing me a favor, you know,
right.
And then they left, you know, I helped them with their anxiety or whatever. And then they left and then they come back in college or whenever. And they're like, I want to be here now. Like, I remember a couple of things you said to me, it stuck out in my mind and now I want to be here. And gosh, if I tell you, the changes and transformations that I see, it's like mind blowing. And I say, like, I think to myself, gosh, I wish I had that when I was that age, my goodness, you know,
yeah.
Like how lucky are that, you know? And they use the lingo, they'll use my lingo, which is like, so cool. You know? Yeah. I realized I didn't really, you know, kind of lean into my values. I kind of overlooked that. Or, you know, when I was thinking about decision-making, you know, I wasn't really guiding my action anyway. So it's like, I'm like, yay.
Yes, that's amazing. Yeah, I think there are kids just don't get it in the moment, you know? And then when they get older, it's like, oh, my mom was right, or my dad was right. And that's probably one of the best things, at least for me. I'm not even a words of affirmation person, but when I hear one of my children say that I was right about something, I'm like, yes, that means I'm doing it right, you know? So it's definitely interesting. But I think what's so cool about talking to you is just the fact that like you're already living your dream. You know, you're already leaving behind this legacy. There's going to be so many people that remember you helping them through those situations, and it's just so cool. It's so cool to see that, and especially, you know, writing another book. I just outlined my next book on vacation last week, and it's going to be How to Meet Your Soulmate. You know, and even if you're already currently in a relationship, how to become who you want to be with, so that way the person you're with feels like your soulmate, you know, so you can actually have the relationship you desire. So it's, but it took me being single for 3 years to finally figure out who I needed to become to meet the person of my dreams, you know. So it's just,
And
and
I'm on that path now too,
yeah.
so
Yeah,
it's
exactly. And you're traveling by yourself. I did the same thing. I took my daughters to Cancun. I went to Costa Rica by myself. I did all the things by myself. And I will tell you the two things that I hated doing by myself: going to the movies. I'll go to Costa Rica by myself, but I'm not going to the movies. And going to a wedding by myself. Nope, I will not go to a wedding. Well, I have somebody with me now, but it's like I don't think I would go to a wedding on my own ever again.
I did that a couple of weeks ago, just so you know. And I sat there and I was talking to somebody, and again, it was a conflict in values, right? Because it was like self-preservation and family values. And I sat there and I in me was, I don't want to go. And I had good excuses not to go and whatever. And I said, no, I'm going to go because it's leaning into my family values and I'm going to be there and I'm going to make the best of it. And this is what I'm going to do. And I kind of planned it out in my head. I'm going to approach people and speak to them. I'm going to, you know, when there's dancing, I'm going to dance with couples and be the third wheel. That's okay because I like dancing. Like, that's fine, you know. And by the way, at the end of it, I was so happy I went. I
So
actually
good.
enjoyed myself. And I said again, I was like, I could do this.
Yep. Love it. Yeah. It's so funny. I mean, the things that bother you about those situations. Like your next book triggers, right? That was obviously a trigger for me to be by myself in that situation. So I just didn't like it. But yeah, definitely a good conversation. What is one action you take every day to get closer to your dreams?
It's really the values, you know, kind of assessment that I do, that and mindfulness. I do mindfulness practice throughout the day. You know, I try, you know, again, I try with my meditative practice specifically. And then my mindfulness practice really is taking moments throughout the day for mindful action and being in the present moment, whether it's like being cognizant when I'm brushing my teeth, whether it's having a conversation with somebody and actually being really present, hearing their voice, looking in their eyes. And also connecting to my emotions. So before, I'll give you an example. It happened when we were talking, actually. You said to me that I'm living out my dreams. And when you said that to me, because I'm leaving a legacy, when you said that, I felt almost tears well up and I felt it at the gut. I was like, because I don't, of course I want to, but I don't think about that. I don't think about, gosh, I'm really doing this. And when you said it, it was like a bolt of lightning, and I connected to it. And I took the moment, even when we were talking, because I was conscious of it, to feel the feeling and to acknowledge it in the moment. Like she just said that to me. I appreciated you in that moment, relationally, you know, and I appreciated what you offered me as a gift, because to me, what you said was a gift to me. And I appreciated you in that moment. And also, acknowledging myself and being proud of myself. So I really try to do that.
Yeah, we don't do near enough of that. I think, you know, so many years ago, it's like somebody had said to me, "Well, you can't love anybody else if you don't love yourself." And I really truly like I really actually do believe that. It's like having that, "Oh my gosh, so proud of myself" moments are what's going to help you be so proud of other people and genuinely, right? And just figuring out how to love yourself and being, I think being alone is like I appreciate the 3 years that I was by myself so much. Like I would not have it any other way. I went on dates, first dates, a lot of first dates, not very many second ones, because it was like, nope, chemistry wasn't there, you know? And I even read the other day that it's like your nervous system attracts other people's nervous system that match up with yours. And I was like, oh, no wonder, you know, thank goodness I was saved from all of those second dates, right? That I didn't feel that chemistry. And so it's like, whenever you finally do meet that person, it's just
magical.
Very, very magical. Yes. And it's like, oh, wow, I actually can manifest things in my life.
That's right. And it's not only that, like you present that to the world, mm-hmm. you know, your confidence, your aura, like who you are, you know, and people feed off of that. It's like, it's amazing. Yeah.
All right. So is there anything else that you would like to share with the listeners today so they can keep watching and keep listening?
So I publish a guided meditation every Thursday morning at 11 on my YouTube channel. So I invite people if they're interested in more mindfulness. I'm also a Psychology Today blogger. So by, you know, the average monthly, I publish new articles. And about a week ago, I published one on self-compassion. Mm. So they're always, you know, generally mindfulness-based, but I do publish on various topics, on parenting, on something that's going on currently, you know, kind of in the media. It really varies, but they're pretty thoughtful pieces. I'm going to say, you know, they tend to have like a little bit of research attached to it, 'cause you know, it's in Psychology Today, but they're generally mindfulness based. And then my book, you know, Ace Your Life, and I'll show you what it looks like. It's my color scheme. That's what it looks like.
Oh yes. Beautiful.
It's my purple and turquoise, but it's, Ace Your Life, Unleash Your Best Self and Live the Life You Want. And I can't say it enough. Like every person out there is worth being their best self. Yeah.
Love it. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on the What's Your Dream podcast. And I am so excited to read your book and just follow up and listen to, you know, the meditations. Meditation is one of the mainstays in my life. It is probably the one thing that I've done that has created the biggest difference in my entire life. So I love that you do that.
Well, thank you so much. It was so nice meeting you and hearing about your life too.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah.